Deeper check of the forecast coming up around the corner on Mugs in the Morning. Right now we go to the KODY phone lines as we're pleased to welcome District 42 Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update. Senator Jacobson, as always, we appreciate the time, sir.
Hey, thank you very much. It's always good to join you guys.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
It was quite the interesting week last week in the Nebraska legislature, Senator Jacobson. I think the headline for last week, if you had to pick just one, would be the abortion restrictions stalling. And this was a bit of a surprise to not just the state, but to you and your colleagues as well.
I would put that more in the shock category than the surprise category. It was probably, from that standpoint, it was the roughest week I've spent in the legislature since I've been there. I could not have been more disappointed, more from the standpoint that I know some people have said, well, gosh, everybody should be entitled to their opinion. They are. And that's not what I'm concerned about. What frustrated me more than anything was the fact that Senator Merv Reapy from Ralston had campaigned as a pro-life candidate. He had actually filled out questionnaires for Nebraska Right to Life and others. When they asked the question, when do you think an abortion would be appropriate, his answer was never. He co-sponsored the bill. He sat in the HHS committee and voted for the bill to come out to the floor. He voted for the bill on general file. And then shortly after that, he introduced an amendment moving the restriction from 6 weeks to 12 weeks. Now, he was a former hospital administrator, and I think he was getting a lot of pressure from doctors that he knew and worked with. And so we approached him and said, you know, tell us about this 12-week. He said, I'm just throwing it out there for discussion, but he says, I'm going to support whatever bill moves forward. So he continued to assure us of that. Right up until last Tuesday morning, I was with a group of other senators, and I asked him point blank, Merv, are you going to be with us if your amendment does not get attached? And his response was, well, I'm not really saying. And I said, Merv, that's kind of important for us to know. He said, I realize that, but I'm not really saying. So we got to Thursday, went through 4 hours of select file debate. We went ahead and actually flipped the script on those that were filibustering, and we actually filibustered to make sure the amendment did not get attached. It actually was out there, but we had to do a cloture vote to be able to vote on the amendment. So we really wanted to see, is he going to be there or not? And when it came to the cloture vote, he voted present, not voting. And that was the 33rd vote we needed to get cloture. So we never even voted on his amendment because we didn't vote on the bill either because we never got the cloture. So incredibly disappointing. All he would have had to have done is shared with us honestly what he wanted to do. If he said, I'll only support the bill with the 12-week ban, we would have considered that. But he'd made it clear. In fact, even on a news report radio program when I went that drove there that morning, I won't say the station because it wasn't KODY. But they had even quoted that his amendment was coming, but that he had publicly stated that he would vote for whatever bill moved forward, even if his amendment didn't get attached. So I don't know. I guess in my mind, your word is worth something. But when you do something like that, it says a lot about who you are. And I can tell you that I would never want to be in that position. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I made it very clear through the campaign all along. I was pro-life. I'm going to vote for the most restrictive abortion bill. And I was there, and I'll continue to be there. And this is not over. I think it could possibly come up yet this year again, but I'll guarantee it'll be back next year. But we're not done. But just very disappointing.
Yeah, and it was, like you said, it was a shock, too. I think, was Senator Reapy one of two senators that was present not voting?
Well, the other one who was present not voting was Justin Wayne, and Senator Wayne is from Omaha, and he voted no on general file. And then when he saw that we weren't going to have the votes for cloture, then he sat there, and Senator Wayne's a very conservative, probably the most conservative of the, between he and Mike McDonnell are the two most conservative Democrat senators in the body. And he's very pragmatic. And of course, is someone who also understands how the legislative process works, that voting for cloture would have made the rest of us feel pretty favorably on any bills that he had coming forward. And so I think he thought long and hard about, and he literally sat there for probably 15, 20 seconds when his name was called for the roll call vote, and sat there and thought and thought, and then ultimately said, not voting. So so we didn't get the votes. And so when you don't get 30 votes for cloture, the bill stalls, and you're done, generally done for the session. So I know I did see the governor over the weekend and the lieutenant governor. We did the Perkins County Canal tour, and I had good conversation with the governor and lieutenant governor at that time, and we've talked about strategies and some things we maybe need to do. And I know the governor's very disappointed. The first question he said to me when he saw me was, he said, Mike, did you get any sleep last night? And I said, not very much.
And the biggest shock about this, too, I think, for Governor Pillen is, didn't Senator Reapy receive an endorsement from Governor Pillen and from former governor, now Senator Ricketts?
Endorsement and financial contributions to their campaign, to his campaign.
Yeah, so it's got to be a surprise to both of those individuals.
I'd say that that...
it really was. It was a shock to everyone.
That avenue of funds is cut off forever.
Yeah, I wouldn't be looking for any endorsements in the future. And needless to say, I think the party's pretty upset. And I don't know. Merv Reapy's 81 years old, so... but sounds like he's interested in running again in 4 years. And so, I don't know. I'm not quite sure what drove the vote. I mean, he could always vote no on the bill. The cloture vote was just simply let the bill move forward. But it would not be amendable once it got the final reading. But even if he got the final reading and he told us that I can't support you without my amendment, then we could always return it back to a select file for an amendment and bring it back again. So there were a lot of other avenues. I just don't know what he was thinking. I don't know if he did think through it very well. I think he was upset when his amendment didn't get voted on prior to the cloture vote, and he just reacted. And I'm guessing if he thinks through it, even though he's made public statements to the contrary, I'm guessing he's kind of regretting the vote to some extent, because he's had to have a lot of blowback. But it's just, again, it's I'm not criticizing his decision one way or the other. What I'm criticizing is the process, the fact that he was not truthful to the people that voted for him, the people who supported him. He was consistent all through this. All he needed to do is disclose to us, hey, I'm not comfortable with the bill. The more I thought about it, I can't support it, and so you'll need to find someone else for a cloture vote, or we need to do this other path. We would have listened to him, but he never communicated that, and that's what I'm upset about. That's what's so frustrating. He never gave us the opportunity, and I had this in the back of my mind from the time that he introduced the amendment, and sure enough, that's exactly how it ended up. It's just very disappointing.
Again, District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update on KODY's Mugs in the Morning. And Senator Jacobson, elsewhere in terms of the filibuster, it did pause early in the week last week for a bit of a Christmas tree package that included some conversation on SNAP.
It did, and amazingly, that was one of the bills that came out of the one of the committees that Senator Reapy chairs, and so there were two bills that did move forward. One of them had to do with SNAP, it is a bill that is an amendment that I did end up supporting. It was introduced by Senator Jen Day, who frankly has had some role in the filibuster. There was some federal ARPA money that was available. It was a use it or lose it, and it would have extended the SNAP payments for another 2 years for those. income. It would have impacted a number of families in District 42, and so I did vote for that because HHS could, that there was no fiscal note because HHS could administer it for 2 years with their existing resources, and the funds were federal ARPA funds, and either we took them or some other state was going to take them, and so I did support that bill, and I think I feel good about that vote.
And then the conversation on E15 was definitely front and center last week as well, Senator Jacobson.
Yes, and it's coming up for a select file vote tomorrow, and I'll be supporting that as well. It's been interesting who the supporters are. We actually got a lecture from the body from Senator Megan Hunt on capitalism and how the free markets are important and how they work, and I thought that was a little strange. The process here was the E15 bill is technically a mandate. The E15 bill is mandating that if you build a new filling station or do a major remodel with replacing tanks and pumps, that you would be required to have E15 available in at least 15% of the, or at least 50% of the pumps at the station. Now, the 50% requirement is part of the amendment that we need to get attached yet on select file. In my mind, yes, it is a mandate because we are requiring filling station owners to do this if they build a new station or significantly remodel an older one, meaning putting in new tanks and pumps. The reason I supported it is because ethanol is so important to our state, and filling stations are the only place to distribute that fuel. It's not like you can sell E15, you know, at a bank or at some other shoe store or someplace else. You can only distribute it through a filling station, and if they don't offer it, then it's not available to anyone. And that's where I feel like that it was important that it be there. The Petroleum Marketers Association was adamantly opposed to it. Of course, the ethanol industry supported it. I supported it because of the important distribution channel that was critical. If we're going to distribute the product, we have to have it available where gasoline is purchased. And so I supported it and spoke out on several times on general file. Plan to do the same thing tomorrow when it comes up on select.
Senator Jacobson, let's talk a little bit, too, about that filibuster. It continued quite a bit last week. We mentioned that it did hit a bit of a pause during the snap. And then you also mentioned as well, in a unique turn of events, the filibuster kind of changed sides, and I guess some would say changed sides of the aisle if this was outside of Lincoln, perhaps, too.
Well, it really did. Of course, the way the filibusters work is when you filibuster a bill, you force cloture, meaning you have to get 33 votes to stop debate, and so that's what it's all about. Is you have the higher threshold, you have to have 33 votes to stop debate, and then you only need 25 votes to pass the bill. So just like in the abortion bill, a heartbeat bill, you know, you could have voted for cloture and voted against the bill, and we've got 8 votes that we didn't need on the bill itself. In other words, you could vote for cloture and then fall off and not vote for the bill itself. So, and that you see that several times happen along the way. In fact, I was a little surprised with LB 77, Senator Brewer's constitutional carry bill. We needed 33 votes for cloture. We got 33. Then we voted for the bill, and we actually got 33 for the bill as well. So that was really interesting as well, because sometimes you do lose one or two when it comes to the bill itself. So what happened yesterday was that for the first time, we did not want to see the 12-week amendment get added. And so we actually talked and talked and talked and used the 4 hours up, and which required a cloture vote, which meant we were going to need a cloture vote either way. We wanted him to declare that he was going to give us cloture, and then we would vote on his amendment, and then whether it passed or failed, it would either be attached to the bill or it would not be, and then we'd vote on the bill, and him only need 25 votes.
And Senator Jacobson, you brought up Senator Brewer just a minute ago. I made a note here, too. I wanted to ask you about his LB 254, the legislative video archive. It advanced another round of the legislature a week ago as well, it appears.
It did, and it's got really bipartisan support, and it was probably one of the very few amendments that that most conservatives will vote on that was introduced by Senator Megan Hunt this session, and that was an amendment to also offer that in Spanish and offer it with closed captioning, and we did support that amendment, and so this will get bipartisan. And it, again, I believe, comes up maybe tomorrow on the agenda, and I do expect it to pass. And what that will do is if you can't watch the legislature live, and you want to watch it, I'm always amazed the number of people that watch it live. But seems like I would think it'd be kind of like watching paint dry, but I guess people enjoy watching it. But if you can't watch it live, then you'd be able to go to the video archives and pull it up any time and catch what was said on the floor. And so it is a permanent, if you will, I don't know how many years, and it goes back a few years, it'll keep the archives, and you can go back and see what somebody said on the floor if you wanted to later.
And then you also... Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Senator.
I just want to mention one more thing. You mentioned Senator Tom Brewer. Tom's mother passed away this past week, and her funeral was this last weekend, and so I just wanted to do a little bit of a shout-out to Senator Brewer and make sure everyone knew that he did lose his mother, and if you weren't aware of it, then you want to reach out to him. I'd encourage you to do so. He's a wonderful man and someone I really admired, but he did lose his mother last week.
Well, sorry to hear, and yeah, as if he's not going through enough already. Senator Jacobson, you alluded to it a minute ago, but you did see the governor and lieutenant governor late last week and into the weekend. They were out here within your district and within western Nebraska.
They were, and the governor is a strong supporter of the Perkins County Canal, and I was really pleased that he's doing that. He has included in the budget, I believe it's about $567 million to go towards the construction of the Perkins County Canal. We did it. I went on this tour last September. I did catch the tour about halfway point at Ogallala and did the back half and was able to have lunch with the governor, lieutenant governor, and a few other senators from the eastern part of the state and some out here, some of my colleagues out here who had not been on the tour yet. And it really gives you a better understanding of why the canal is so important and why this is very feasible, and I think why we would kick ourselves if we didn't spend the money today to do this, because I'm absolutely convinced. I did have a constituent reach out to me, oh gosh, I suppose it's been several months, that's probably been 3-4 months ago, telling me how important it was, and said, you know, this is a no-brainer, because just imagine how much money Colorado would be willing to pay to be able to retain any portion of the water that we're entitled to, and he's spot on. I'm convinced that when you look at how valuable water is in Colorado, that we built the canal, the compact is very clear that we're entitled to that flow, and so if we were willing to let some of that flow go, say in the wintertime, and let them retain it, that would come at a very, very high price, which would more than recoup all of our costs for the canal and much, much more, and still get us the water that we deserve in the summer months.
And Senator Jacobson, anything else you wanted to add in regards to that trip or anything else from the past week or so?
Well, I would just tell you that we're going to be on day 70 tomorrow, and so there's only 20 legislative days left. We have to have the budget approved no later than day 80. So we'll be working on budget until we get it done. We'll go late nights if we need to. And then once the budget's done, we're going to have about 10 days to kind of do the food fight on the floor for remaining bills and how to get them funded. I was able to get the Appropriations Committee, with the help of the governor, my HALSEA funding in the budget. So now I just need to make sure that it doesn't get cut out of the budget through the budget debate. And if that takes place, then we will get the funding I was looking for there. I'm also looking at my microchip bill and my mayoral voting bill. Those two bills are in LB 531, which is actually introduced by Justin Wayne. Kind of why I wished he'd have done a yes on that cloture vote, because then that would have guaranteed 531 was not only going to pass, but signed by the governor. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed there, because there are a lot of senators that are upset. We don't know what the cloture, or we don't know what the feedback's going to be there. LB 574 is going to come up on final so at some point. So that means that would be the transgender bill. So we may still be seeing filibusters. So I'm just concerned about the time we've got left and the bills remaining, these no-brainer bills that may not get a vote this year because of the filibuster activity. So there's a lot that's going to happen in the next 20 days, in the next 20 session days.
And Senator Jacobson, we do have to wrap up, but the Economic Forecasting Board had their meeting as well late last week, and final meeting before, like you said, you and your colleagues officially dive into some budget talks.
That's correct, and I think many of us were surprised. Many of us really thought that the Forecasting Board were probably going to drop the revenue projections by as much as $150 million for the remaining over the next biennium, for this biennium. And in fact, what they did is they reduced it about $80 million in this year, and then increased it another $80 million back over the back end. So as it worked out, they're staying flat. So that's an extra $150 million that we thought was going to be gone that will stay in the budget or stay in the fund to be available to be used. So the big thing now is going to be, how do you spend that? There will still be a very, very, very strong cash reserve, probably $1 billion in reserves based upon what the budget, the governor wants to spend, and what the tax proposals are and the school funding proposals are. So I feel pretty good about where we're at, but if we can't get there, I would expect that there'll be some income tax cuts will probably be slowed in order to make sure we've got the funding to do it.
Well, Senator Jacobson, as always, we appreciate the time. Best of luck this week when session resumes tomorrow.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thanks, Mike.